Hello and welcome. I'm Laura Briggs with the Vegan Fitness Runner podcast, where I'll be talking all things running, health and fitness, and what it means to be an active vegan. So I'm here with Shane Oley, and I'm really excited to be talking to Shane because you're the person in charge of the Dragon's Back race, Shane, aren't you?
I am. Hi, Laura. It's nice to be here as well. Yes, the dubious honour of being the Dragon's Back race director.
Absolutely amazing. But you're more than that. You're also a runner and a mountain climber. And you obviously also, with your company, Aurea Events, organise a lot of other events, don't you? Not just the Dragon's Back race. Do you want to tell me a little bit about how you got into running and mountain climbing and how all this started, really?
Oh, okay, that's a good question. So I was very fortunate to be at a school that had a good outdoor education program. So from quite a young age, I had those days in the hills and walking and camping. And then in my early teens, I had this idea that I wanted to be a rock climber and very quickly developed a complete obsession and passion with rock climbing. And for many, many years, climbed a lot and had a short spell of climbing professionally. And I guess really, I will always define myself as a rock climber because that's kind of my roots into the outdoors. Maybe the best part of 20 years ago, I kind of started making a transition to doing more running than climbing. And really, that's been the story of the last few decades. And I definitely spend a lot more time running than I do climbing now. And I've had, you know, a little bit of success, I guess, as a runner, but really with esoteric mountain challenges, which is definitely my area of specialism.
And Shane, I'm guessing that your mountaineering, rock climbing background has got to put you in really good stead for running because it must make you so much stronger having that background.
I think it's definitely advantageous for things like mountain marathons when you're carrying a rucksack, for running challenges like the classic rock challenge in the Lake District I did last year. I mean, it's completely essential, but I mean, really the upper body strength that you get from rock climbing doesn't particularly lend itself to, I don't know, long distance running, middle distance running. You don't need the big arms, do you?
That's true. I suppose so. But it must also have kind of led you to the kind of the events that you oversee now, because they're very much linked, aren't they? Running, mountains, hills. So all the events that Aurea now run, they're all very much looking at those two skill sets, aren't they?
Most definitely. So I mean, we have some races like the Salomon Glencoe Skyline, which is very much about fusing together the mountain running and mountain climbing skills. But that's really quite unusual. I think the theme that runs through my events is a real sense of adventure. And I really quite passionately believe that you don't get a true sense of adventure unless there's a little bit of jeopardy. And the jeopardy might come from, sometimes genuine risk, or it might just come from real difficulty, like physical and mental difficulty to complete the challenge. And events like the Dragon's Back Race, Montane Dragon's Back Race in particular, you know, they are physically very challenging races, and that creates some uncertainty. Nobody can stand on that start line with confidence of finishing. And all of a sudden you have real adventure and you get these life-changing, life-affirming experiences when the outcome is uncertain. And I think that is really important to those races.
Absolutely. And I can speak firsthand from that, Shane, having, you know, been put forward for this Dragon's Back race, I can definitely say I'm very trepidatious, and there's lots of things I know that I have to overcome in order just to get to the start line. Actually, it's about navigation. It's about being strong enough to, you know, last the distance, but also, to get my legs up those hills. I'm from the Somerset levels. So, you know, your background and my background are complete polar opposites, actually. But what would you say to people who maybe were thinking of taking on a challenge like Dragon's Back, perhaps in a similar situation to me, who maybe doesn't have that hill running experience. Is that something that you think is doable for anybody, or do you have to be at a certain level to start with?
Well, I think it's important to be fair and reasonable. It's certainly not an event for anybody. So the general theme, again, in the events that we organise are that they are more challenging races, and they are more suitable to kind of runners, trail runners with a bit more experience and training behind them. But I think one of the consistent things that we see at the events as well is that people underestimate what they can do. And I think actually these kind of very ambitious races, Dragon's Back, Cape Wrath Ultra, if someone really sets their mind to it and they can come to the event with a good block of training behind them, a really determined, positive approach to the race, it's absolutely amazing what can be achieved. And, you know, very few of the finishers at these races are, you know, runners you would see at the front of the pack at a race. I mean, the majority of the people who complete these races are middle back of the pack runners who just are focused, determined, organized, and have a bit of determination. That's the right word.
Which is music to my ears, actually, because I've written myself about running and mindset and what that means to a runner. And it really is a lot about mental preparation, isn't it? Not just the physical. Is there a way that you kind of prepare yourself when you're taking on either a mountain challenge or a long distance running challenge? How do you prepare mentally for that?
There's two approaches. I do quite a lot of visualization, and that might be in the form of imagining how I will overcome problems, but also how positive and good it will feel to be successful. So I've really got a lineup of things I can play through my mind that will help me with the challenge as it unfolds. And then also just being methodical in my preparation. So I think like a fantastic example I heard from a Dragon's Back race participant who was talking in one of our webinars recently. He was talking about how to get prepared for the overnight camps. And what he did is he packed his overnight bag as per the race instructions and limited by the weight and everything else. And he left it at home in the front room. And then he went for a long run, like 5-6 hour run, came home, went into the front room and didn't use anything other than what was in that bag to sleep and eat all the way through to the next morning when he went out for another run. You know, that's someone who's really taking their preparation carefully, and, they're being methodical, and that kind of approach will absolutely pay dividends for anybody.
That's a really good way of looking at it, isn't it? Because these kind of events, they're not something that you can just nip out and practice over a day or something. They're so far removed, I suppose, from most people's reality. You know, say it's a 3-day challenge or a 6-day challenge, as the Dragon's Back race is, that you have to put yourself in really difficult situations, I suppose, in order to try and, recreate what you might face on that event. That's a great example, you saying about the bag in the living room and then trying to recreate that. For me, it would be, you know, actually driving myself up to the mountains and spending a couple of days just, you know, running on terrain that is so unfamiliar to me, because that's what you have to do, really, isn't it? You have to do things that really push you out of your comfort zone in your training.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, so I've just actually been helping Raw Adventure on one of their Dragon's Back recce weekends this weekend, and had a really good time with some of the participants who are hoping to take part this year. And what was really obvious to me was, A, how important their goal of getting to the race was, but also the lengths they were going to prepare. And they were already, you know, they had a training program, one of them had a coach, they were spending weekends in Wales trying to learn bits of the route, and that's kind of on their own. And they'd also come on one of these Raw Adventure recce weekends to kind of learn even more about the race. I mean, they're being very methodical about their preparation, And, you know, I would suspect that they'll have a much, much better chance of success as a result of that.
And we will give a shout out to the team at Raw Events because I have to, Raw Adventures, because I have to say I did a recce event with them and I thought it was absolutely brilliant. And they do a lot of stuff, don't they, in prep for the event.
Yeah.
And it's a really good way of meeting other people who are doing the event as well and kind of sharing tips. So I got a lot from it and I am actually doing a couple more of those. So we will give them a big shout out because they do a really good job. For me, Shane, as you know, as many of the listeners will be in a similar situation, you know, we go to work, probably, you know, some of us working full time, some part time, whatever. We're juggling that with family. Certainly, as a mum, I find that putting in the time, the hours on my feet, it's really challenging, actually. Do you think that that's a particular issue for women runners, or do you think that men have the same kind of challenges when they are looking to complete something like the Dragon's Back race?
It's definitely not a level playing field. So it's International Women's Day later this week, and I've spent the last few weeks thinking very carefully about a long blog we're about to publish on the Area Events website about female participation in trail running. And it's been really good because I've chatted with some female runners who are friends and colleagues, family members, and I've read some of the research and I've read some of the articles out there on this subject from other publications. And I mean, it's really clear that there is like an inherent bias and assumption that the females will take up, you know, more of the household challenges or have burden of running a household. They'll do more childcare, and this reduces their opportunities to train and to prepare. And whilst society has moved, you know, so far in a generation, that is a kind of fairly ingrained experience that does limit females' opportunities to train and prepare for these events.
And it's all kind of good and well saying that we recognize this. I mean, we obviously have recognized this for quite some time now, that is a pressure that is on women predominantly. What is being done to kind of ease that burden within the eventing world? Is there anything that you as a race director can do to help women in races like this?
Yeah, I mean, I think just to be clear, the things that I just mentioned are kind of wider societal challenges, which you know, you can only do so much to influence as a race organizer, but there are lots of things you do have the power to change. And we were just talking about the Dragon's Back race, and we've used a tagline for many years of the world's toughest mountain race. Well, actually, those words toughest, hardest, extreme can actually be quite off-putting to female runners in particular. And we've been asking ourselves some quite hard questions about how we describe the race and how we present the race, the language that is still fair and reasonable for describing what is actually a tough race, but not kind of overdoing those words. I'm going to kind of go through a few things that we're doing at the moment. So we're thinking about how the imagery and the language around the race is like gender neutral. And we don't just have kind of alpha males storming up a mountain featured in our media. We thought a lot about course closure and cutoff times. We want to make sure that the website is full of really useful information that will allow female participants who maybe feel a little bit more nervous about entering at the start of the process so that they can make a good informed choice. There's the obvious things that I think any progressive race organizer needs to cover, which is having a really good pregnancy deferral policy and breastfeeding policy. We've had a pregnancy deferral policy for, I would say, a good one for quite many years, 3 or 4 years now. And that essentially allows a pregnant female to defer with 1 day's notice and then defer their entry at no cost for 3 years, which we think is pretty good. And we recently had an inquiry from a lady who wanted to know about breastfeeding opportunities, possibilities at the Dragon's Back race. And that actually prompted us to have a really hard look at our policy. And we are kind of relaunching that in light of that review, actually. So that's just about to be updated. There's basic stuff like having female-only toilets at the start and the finish in the overnight camps. A real focus on safety, particularly for females who are out on the course in the dark and on their own, perhaps. Basics like getting your sizing of T-shirts and merchandise in female-specific sizes and not offering unisex. I mean, the list goes on of really kind of simple things that actually all combined creates an environment where a female participant feels absolutely welcome and part of the community, which is how it should be.
It sounds to me like you've done an awful lot of thinking about this. And as a woman, it's really encouraging to hear that you're taking what might seem really small changes. You're taking those on board and you're really implementing change. When you mentioned about, you know, the language you use, it's interesting to me because when I say to people, oh, I'm hoping to take on the world, you know, the toughest mountain race in the world, you know, it's a massive thing. And I know that should I complete it, even if I should, you know, complete the first day, then that language is going to be used in my benefit. I'm going to say, you know, I tackled the toughest mountain challenge, but I can easily see why a lot of women would be put off by that particular phrase, because it does kind of make you feel like, oh, it's only going to be real alpha males that are entering this. It's only going to be the toughest of the tough. And perhaps that can be off-putting. It's interesting, isn't it? As, you know, just in general, how we perceive things. I talk a lot to my friends who think I'm nuts anyway for running, you know, the distances I do. But then when you add something like that into the mix, it suddenly, to a lot of my female friends certainly, becomes just this total pipe dream. So I guess for you as a race director, trying to make something more accessible to women is quite a challenge in itself, is it?
I think actually the individual steps are not particularly challenging. I think the hardest thing possibly is just having the time and awareness to go, actually, there are simple things that I have the power to influence, and why aren't I doing it? And I mean, that's kind of like the moral dimension of having a more equal balance of male and females at your events. But there's also a commercial question as well, because females make up the greatest percentage of growth within trail running. So if you're not looking after that audience, then you're just doing your business a disservice as well. So, you know, there's lots of really compelling reasons for race organisers to be really focused on doing an absolutely outstanding job for, I mean, I'd say all their participants, but it's about bringing the female experience up to the same level as the male experience here.
That's really fantastic to hear. Shane, you must have other pressures that are huge, I can only imagine them, on you when you try and organise events that are this challenging, not just, you know, gaining female participants, but the actual challenge of the race itself must give you a few sleepless nights, just ensuring that the participants are prepped enough for that experience. What's your kind of feeling on, you know, when you first start putting on an event like this? Is it quite nerve-wracking?
Yeah, there's certainly a few nerves, and there's always a curveball or two to deal with. And I think I wrote a long blog about the impact of Queen Elizabeth dying last year on the Dragon's Back race, and you know, that had a huge impact on the race. But as a, you know, professional team organizing a fairly significant race, you just have to kind of take that in your stride and adapt. I think in terms of how the participants are prepared, you can only do so much. So, you know, we publish these help guides. We do monthly webinars. We have this incredibly content-rich website with, you know, blogs from previous participants, detailed information about the route. We have maps, Q&As. We organise these recces with Raw Adventure. I mean, every opportunity is there for the participants to get themselves informed and come to the race well prepared. And the vast majority do.
That's good to hear. There's an awful lot of things on the website, having trawled it myself, that we as participants need to be, you know, acutely aware of. Things like, you know, mandatory kit, you know, the challenge we are putting ourselves through, you know. I mean, you have to be aware, don't you, as a runner who's entering something like this, that there are risks, but that you're putting yourself out there to hopefully, you know, achieve something that's far and beyond what, you know, you thought you would ever achieve. And hopefully, I'm certainly hoping to get to the finish line. I shall keep telling myself that anyway.
What I see AREA Events' role in all of that is that the participant kind of needs to come to the event prepared, but we need to, as a business, provide that support and framework, the kind of context, if you like, for them to go and have that life-changing experience at the event. So I kind of see AREA Events' role is kind of almost like holding people's hands as they get them to the start line. And then if they need us during the event, of course, we'll help them. But ultimately, it's up to the participant to take every step down that course.
Absolutely. And I mean, half the battle is getting to the start line, as we said earlier, isn't it? Because yeah, the training that goes into this is quite phenomenal, really. What's really lovely for me, Shane, is that your food's vegan, right? So I don't have to worry about that.
Well, we serve a meat and fish free menu. That's the language that we use. So it's a combination of vegetarian and vegan food. And we've done that from the very first day of running this business. And I mean, there's a whole moral and ethical dimension of that food, but actually from a practical point of view, and particularly if you think about our events like Cape Wrath and Dragon's Back, everything is prepared on site, and we have to have this convoy of, you know, catering equipment and vehicles supporting the event. We build a kitchen every day. It's far easier to keep things hygienic, keep the food safe. And we have a 5-star health and safety rating for our catering team. You know, it's easier to do that with a basically a plant-based menu.
The food sounds fantastic. Did you, I know you just said about the kind of the ethical reasons and the practical health and safety elements that you have to consider. Was the choice to have a vegan/plant-based menu because of your own personal preferences and your dietary requirements? Do you eat a plant-based diet?
Yeah, so I'm a vegan, and I've been a vegan for, 10 years now, and a vegetarian for 15 or so years before that. I think, of course, that background pushed us in that direction, and there's no doubt about it. But I think the kind of practical operational reasons do have merit. I think also from my point of view, whatever your opinions are about a vegan diet, I'm talking about myself personally now rather than the food at the events, there's some very strong arguments from an environmental point of view about reducing meat consumption in the West. And I think the menu that we provide at the events is a positive step in that direction, about being a bit more sustainable, about minimising our impact as an event.
That's great. Do you also think that your vegan diet has helped you personally as an athlete?
And that's a really interesting one. I mean, you can't categorically say that one way or another, because I don't really have an A-B test in that respect. What I can say is that, you know, I feel fit and healthy. I'm rarely ill. And having made an ethical and moral choice to be a vegan, I feel very positive about that. I don't like preachy anybodies, but preachy vegans can be pretty annoying. So
agreed.
I'm very happy to get into a debate with somebody if they really want to do that. But I certainly try to avoid those situations. But yeah, for me personally, it's been a very positive choice, and I'm happy with that choice as well.
I suppose you've half answered my next question, really, Shane, which was, do people ever question your dietary or lifestyle choices? And how would you respond to them without being a preachy vegan, I suppose? I sometimes get asked how the heck I can run so far on plants, you know, or where do you get your protein from? That old classic. Do you ever get any of those, you know, classic vegan phrases from your friends or people you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's very, very common, particularly the protein question. And I actually listened to, I'm going to plug somebody else's podcast here. So it was actually BBC Sounds. I listened to a really good podcast called The Meat Paradox a couple of weeks ago. And it really, I think, fairly balances the kind of, the paradox of being omnivores, you know, designed to eat meat, with the kind of, it's particularly the environmental benefits of a diet with a lot less meat in it. And it's a very fair, balanced discussion about the pros and cons of both approaches. But yeah, sorry, I'm kind of digressing a bit here, but yeah, I do get asked about it. And I am prepared to go into battle with the reasons, the moral and ethical reasons, if need be. But I think if you think about the global context, we're very lucky to, well, I feel I'm very lucky as a, essentially a privileged Westerner to be able to make the choice to be vegan. In some respects, I describe myself as a pragmatic vegan because I would certainly eat whatever was necessary if it was a case of survival, but I don't have that challenge and choice to make in life. Yeah, I think it's a privilege to be able to be a vegan and to make food choices based on moral and ethic decisions rather than hunger.
Absolutely. I really strongly agree with what you're saying there. And it's very encouraging because obviously your company, your Aria Events, are working really hard to be more sustainable and ethical. But we are seeing a lot more of this now through society, I think. Veganism suddenly has become, you know, less of a taboo subject. It's, you know, you can see plant-based meals in the supermarkets everywhere now. You can go out and eat without people persecuting you. So I think we're in a better place now, aren't we, than maybe we were 10 years ago when you first became a vegan. Have you seen that change?
Yeah, the change is dramatic. And I mean, 10 years ago, you essentially could not find, you know, specialist vegan products in a supermarket. And actually, while I avoid kind of processed foods by and large, you know, there's an enormous amount of choice in the supermarket. You can walk down an entire aisle of vegan ready meals and vegan cheese and vegan yogurts and all vegan butter, and you know, the list goes on. It's quite amazing. So it's a lot more choice out there. But I think I read recently that vegans in the UK is only 3% of the population, so it's still a tiny percentage of everybody.
It's crazy, really. I think, well, obviously, much like you, I think everyone should start, you know, eating a plant-based diet. But I'm not preachy. I refuse to be the preachy vegan. But it certainly is much easier now for vegans. I do believe that. Obviously, you've got, you know, great things going on with Aria Events, Shane. You do more than just the Dragon's Back race. And you're obviously working hard to get more women participating in all your events. Is there anything in particular that Aria is working on that you're excited by? Obviously, we talked about the female participation. Have you got any big plans for either Aria or for yourself personally?
So there's no shortage of ideas for Aria or myself. I think from a business point of view, COVID was right deeply damaging for our business, as it was for pretty much every business in the UK, actually. And it is going to take us a few years to recover from that. I think consumer behaviour has quite fundamentally changed since COVID. But it's not just COVID, it's cost of living, it's the war in Ukraine. There's a lot of headwinds for kind of consumer spending at the moment in the UK and in Europe. So I think it's a pretty challenging environment. And so I'm trying to be measured about my ambitions for launching new events at the moment, because a new event is always a risk. But there is literally a folder with well, many dozens of ideas for new and interesting races. So we'll see, watch this space, but it might be a year or two off now.
You're right. It's a really tough time, isn't it, for everybody out there. And so, yeah, I mean, new races are probably maybe a little way off yet, but the ones you already do are phenomenal. I mean, we've talking about the Montane Dragon's Back race, but you've also got the Cape Wrath Ultra, the Salomon Skyline, Silver Northern and Lakes Traverse, and there's also the Scarpa Great Lakeland three-day event as well. So you've got an awful lot on your plate, in my opinion. So, you know, for your year, must be incredibly busy.
It is a busy year, and yeah, we have 11 permanent staff in the business. We all work really, really hard. We all have a connection with the outdoors and running, and we're pretty passionate about doing the very best job. And again, when I was doing this research into this blog I'm just about to publish about female participation and challenges, we were reviewing some of our own data, and the kind of our most readily accessible data between now and 2017 is 20,000 runners. And we can start sorting through that and looking at ages and gender splits. But it's a big data set. And I saw 20,000 and I'm like, wow, that is a lot of people who've come to our events. And I hope the vast, vast majority have had a really good time. And I guess there's a little bit of pride when you kind of suddenly realize you see a number that big and you're like, wow, that's a lot.
That's incredible. And obviously those people, you know, a lot of that is word of mouth, isn't it? People will run an event and they'll go back and tell their mates if they think it's really good, and then you'll get more. So you obviously do a fantastic job. What's your next race that you're going to be doing, Shane? What's your next challenge?
I might be doing the Leighton 10K on the weekend in the North Lakes. But I try, actually, each year I try to travel around in Europe mostly and go to some of these bigger, kind of very well-established kind of alpine trail races. So I've just got an entry into the Innsbruck Alpine Trail running weekend in June, which I'm really looking forward to. And I've got a little bit of a hit list of other races I'm hoping to be at this year. And I do have a few little personal challenges in mind, but we'll see. Watch this space.
I was going to say, it must be quite hard for you to sit, not hard, that's the wrong word, but when you sit and you're, as a race director, watching all these other participants doing challenges that you've organized, there must be a part of you that's thinking, right, come on, I really want to challenge myself now. What can I do?
Yeah, there is. And I've definitely over the years done less and less and less racing. And I do plenty of running. And I often see, you know, local club, I'm in Helm Hill Running Club, Fell Running Club, and I see club members out and about running around Kendal, but I rarely go to races. And I think just living and breathing event organization all the time does take away a little bit from the enjoyment you get yourself when you race, or you go to other events. And I do like to go to other events in a kind of mystery shopper capacity and see what I can learn and pick up. And hence going to the Innsbruck Alpine Trail Running Weekend is a huge event, and I'm fascinated to see what I will learn and good practice and ideas I can bring back from there to our events in the UK.
It's like a bit of market research going on then in the background while you're still racing. That's great. Shane, look, I've mentioned before, I will be on that start line in September for the Dragon's Back race. I'm nervous at the moment, I suppose, but I know that the more preparation I do, the better I'll feel about that. I've already done a fair bit of training. I know there's a long way to go. What tips can you give me as race director? What's the most important thing for me to focus on at this point in my training?
Well, you don't know what you're capable of until you try. So come to the event full of, you know, enthusiasm and determination, but be sensible in your preparation. So, you know, it's always sad when you hear about people who get those injuries like 2 weeks out from the event, and then you ask what they've been up to, and they've increased their mileage by like 40% in the last few weeks, and you're like, well, really? So just good, solid, steady preparation. Time out on the course, time out on the hill. Be prepared. It will be an amazing week, I'm sure. It will be some lifelong friendships and memories will be formed there.
I'm thoroughly looking forward to it, I have to say. It's, it's a really exciting thing to be part of. And thus far, the information that's come from Aurea Events, yourselves, and also from Roar Adventures and people that I've met through, the Dragon's Back WhatsApp groups that I'm now on, it's a real community, isn't it? I think that what you get out of this, like you said before, is I'll probably come away with lifelong friendships and that sense of, a bond that we've all gone through something together. Mm. Is that what you see from this event as well?
Yeah, we do see that. And actually, I'm trying to remember the name of the process. There's a kind of a well-known thing in psychology where the more difficult and challenging an experience is for a group of people, the more tightly it bonds them thereafter as a group. And I think because the Dragon's Back is such a tough and challenging race, those participants who share that experience, and particularly the participants who share, a tent together during that week, I mean, it's like bonding them with superglue sometimes. The friendships can be very, very strong that are born out of that experience.
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds phenomenal. I feel a little bit like I'm undertaking some kind of SAS training or something, but I know it's going to be well worth it in the end. Shane, you mentioned earlier that you are writing a long blog post on things like female participation, and you've written on other topics. Where can people read that?
So we'll be publishing it on the Aurea Events website. And that should be 48 hours away from being published now. I'm just getting some of my colleagues to read over it and just double check that what I have written actually makes sense and is not silly.
Probably best. I'm sure it will be anything but silly. There's loads of information that you can find on the Aurea Events website. Equally, from personal experience, the event websites themselves. So the Dragon's Back Race has its own website, doesn't it? And
it does.
A Facebook group. So people can find out stacks more information on there. And of course, all the social media channels as well. So there's plenty of places to find out lots of information. Shane, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I really appreciate your time today, and it's given me a renewed sense that I can tackle this dragon. Anything is possible. So thank you very much.
Absolutely, and I'll look forward to seeing you in Conway in September.
Thanks, Shane.
Thanks so much for listening, and don't forget to leave a review for the Vegan Fitness Runner podcast. Please subscribe if you don't want to miss an episode. And remember, you can find out more about all my guests and further information on all the topics covered over on the website veganfitnessrunner.com. Thanks again, and bye for now.